Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're having dialogue and discussion with a board-certified physician of 30 years, Dr. Stephen Grable. Dr. Grable is talking about today the issue of COVID and the mask mandate, the vaccine, and whether or not the vaccines would be efficacious, and whether or not we should take the vaccines. Dr. Grable, you touched on just a moment ago before our break about our seminar. Let me introduce that to our listeners, and then we'll ask you a couple of questions about what we're going to be doing. That is this Saturday, ladies and gentlemen, here at First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road. We're located just about 1 mile south of I-295, about 3.5 miles north of I-95. We'll have on campus, Dr. Grable will be with us doing a presentation and answering your questions. The presentation will include much about immune system and about health care in general. And in specific, he'll be talking about COVID-19 vaccination and mask. Dr. Grable, take a moment and let our listeners know. By the way, that will be at 9 o'clock on Saturday morning for coffee and donuts. At 9:30 to approximately 12:30 will be the lecture and the Q&A session with Dr. Grable as our special guest. Dr. Grable, give a broad brush overview of what you'll be discussing and what you'll be presenting, and who should come. Who would be best candidates to be here for the seminar? Would you address that for us?
Sure. We're going to talk a lot about vaccines because I think it's important for the public to get a historical understanding of how vaccines came about and some of the what I call folklore that has been promulgated. And so they can learn about that because that ties in directly with the COVID vaccine. We're going to talk about COVID in depth. I like to try to keep it. I really like more of the Socratic method. I like working with the audience and getting questions and having a dialogue. You know, kind of rather than me standing up just doing one PowerPoint after another. So I think it's a lot more fun, and we can go down 20 different rabbit holes if people want to. But I think trying to get people to understand about really what the science is behind things like masks, you know, we were talking about that a little earlier. One point that I think a lot of people are not aware of is studies have shown that you're breathing oxygen that is less than OSHA standards for safety. And you cited the idea, and I've seen this too, where people are driving down the road with their masks on inside their cars. And I think, in my opinion, they're putting themselves and others in harm's way because they're not going to be functioning at 100% because they're breathing oxygen at 17% or less O2. And they're breathing 100 times the carbon dioxide that they normally breathe. So this whole mask thing just absolutely makes me crazy because the virus, when you breathe out, goes out in the air anywhere from 25 to 100 feet. It's in the fine aerosol. And there's a wonderful video by Dr. Russ Blaylock, B-L-A-Y-L-O-C-K. If you go to Mike Adams' website, Brighteon, that's Brighteon.com, you can watch Dr. Blaylock's video. It's about an hour long. It is just terrific. And he goes through the science. They do some demonstrations and videos. And you'll walk away from that thinking, I need to contact the mayor and tell him to stop this mask nonsense, because it's affecting everyone. It's making everyone feel isolated. And it's not, in my opinion, for our best health. And there's no science to back it up.
Absolutely. And you touch on that. And I've sent our mayor, Mayor Curry, I've sent him probably a dozen articles about masks and the inefficiency and the non-effectiveness of masks. And I get zilch, zero, not a response from him. Of course, I didn't expect him to jump up and down and say, you're right and I'm wrong, and change his position. But I'm in a dilemma with, and this is just another issue, dilemma with some of our politicians, local and nationwide, the governors and mayors, that keep on instituting the mask mandates. And there's, as you've said, not any science in it that validates its efficacy. In fact, I'm looking at an article that says, with no lockdowns or mask mandates, and there is, happens to be one in Duval County, but this is for the state, with no lockdowns and no mask mandates for the state of Florida, Florida has roughly the same hospitalization level as the 2018 seasonal flu. Goes on to say, the entire pretext for shutting down our liberties is built upon misinformation. Further, the article, it says, we're being told that our liberties must be suspended in order to keep hospitals from reaching the apocalyptic levels. But what if those levels are just above normal and not anywhere near apocalyptic levels? And what if those lockdown measures do nothing to keep the levels down anyway? And there's a great workup here in this article with showing the comparisons across the nation with the state of Florida. And yet with no lockdowns, no mask mandate per se for the state of Florida has a lower case, lower numbers of deaths and difficulties as a result of COVID. So that's proof right there. In fact, this article says, actually, we can barely see any increase in any hospitalization level in the Sunshine State from all previous years. And the current level appears to be in on par with 2017, 18, and 19 flu season, which was more of a pandemic flu than other flus in recent years. And in 2018, we did nothing on a national level to suspend our liberties because of the flu. That is, I believe, antithetical to what our political leaders ought to do. In fact, Dr. Grable, recently I had the, how would you say, the experience of being ordered out of my oncologist office because I walked in to go in for the monthly checkup and was ordered out because I didn't have on a mask. And I tried to explain from the standpoint of a research background that what the masks do, what they do not do, and how it's detrimental for my health. And they just simply said, get out. I am now transferring to another physician as a result of that. But that's what is taking place in America and right here in the state of Florida, right here in Duval County, as a result of the hyper fear and hysteria, even on the part of physicians. So, Dr. Grable, from a physician standpoint, what do you say to physicians that insist that you further have deleterious effects on your health by putting a mask on?
Well, you know, Dr. Fauci, who many consider to be one of the top experts, was saying, I think it was in March of last year, that masks aren't necessary and don't do anything. Well, I guess in 6 months he must have had an epiphany or had some kind of a major shift in thinking, right? Actually, I'm being a little facetious, of course. And it's all, in my opinion, it's about control. I think that's what this is all about. We don't have time in your radio program today to go into the deep state. We're going to cover that on our seminar on the weekend. But there are forces behind the scenes that have purposes for us that are not in our best interest. And I see COVID is just a vehicle. That's all I see. It's a vehicle of control. and it's a vehicle to get people to behave in a certain way. And I don't know what it's going to take for the public to wake up and to realize what's going on. You know, I'm encouraged that, you know, studies show that a good 40 to 50% of Americans and people across the world are refusing this COVID vaccine, which I think is a really positive step. I know the media has really terrified people to go ahead and get this thing. But we need to be strengthening our immune systems. I've had zero patients in the hospital with COVID, and that's in a year, none. I've had a couple that were seriously ill. We turn them around with IV ozone. I've written maybe now 15 scripts for hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin. And otherwise, my patients are doing great. And we should be telling people to keep your immune system strong with vitamins A, C, D, and zinc, and among others. And, you know, get plenty of rest, you know, kind of the standard stuff that we know. Your immune system is your best defense against this virus.
Absolutely. And Dr. Grable, would you let our listeners know your practice, where your practice is located, and the name of your practice in the event there is a need in the future?
Absolutely. It's called Complementary Care Center, and that's PLE. And we're located behind Beaches Hospital at the beach, 1504 Roberts Drive. And if you go to Dr. Grable, that's drgrable.com, that has all my contact information and my curriculum vitae and my background and who I am and so forth. So we would love to see the patients and work on helping them to maximize their natural immunity and ability to heal and to stay healthy.
Absolutely. I believe we have a call on the line. Go with the question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, Brother Davis, how are you?
Great, Brother Davis. Good to hear from you today. God bless you.
Yes, sir. Just a question for the doctor, and I'm sure that you have an explanation as well, because we have covered so much information pertaining to this COVID pandemic on the air ourselves. Just a quick question, because it seems like the white coat wearing doctors with all the knowledge that are standing in the national spotlight can't seem to give us a straight answer with a straight face. I would like to know, I mean, where did COVID come from? Where did this really come from? Because the first reports I can remember reading, they said that someone ate a bat. And then the next time they said it was concocted in a lab. So, I mean, what's the real truth behind this COVID thing? I mean, it just seems like it's generating more questions than it is producing any answers.
It's a very good question. Dr. Graber, would you want to jump at that question and respond to it?
Sure. And I've got a document which I will show the attendees on Saturday that clearly show that this virus was manufactured in the labs in North Carolina. We also think in Fort Detrick. And my belief is that Fauci was instrumental in all this stuff. And the government, when it withdrew funding, that's when they decided to ship it over to Wuhan. And we gave them $3.7 million to continue the research over there. Judy Mikovits and other brilliant virologists have said that there is absolutely no way that the genomic sequence of this virus could have spontaneously happened in less than 800 years on this planet. So it was clearly genetically manipulated and formed in the lab. Now, one can debate about what the exact purposes were. I've got some personal beliefs, which I'm going to keep to myself. But be that as it may, I do believe that this was created in the lab. Just like if you read Len Horowitz's work, there is good evidence that through genetic manipulation, our dear military spliced simian immunodeficiency virus and created HIV back in the 60s. So it wasn't a spontaneous green monkey thing like we've been fed. So I don't know if that answers the gentleman's question or not.
Does that answer your question, Brother Davis?
Yes, sir. Basically, you know, I kind of, my thoughts were in that general direction anyway. But the thing for me, since they put it out there about someone eating a bat, Dr. Youngblood, the many thousands that have been affected by this virus in the U.S., but not that many people in the U.S. have eaten a bat. I mean, I just could not fathom that, you know, within myself to say that, you know, any, you know, people from here, that's not a custom, I think, that we, you know, observe in this country. I mean, I don't know, you know, every individual one by one. Amen. Amen. But it just seems like, you know, if they said it came from a bat, then no. I mean, I couldn't accept that, you know, because not that many people here, you know, would be consuming bats.
Absolutely. Well, Brother Davis, thank you so much for your call. Keep on looking up and listening up and looking forward to having you and any of your guests with us on Saturday for the seminar with Dr. Grable. And I'm looking forward to the, as he puts it, lively questions and answers that I believe would be beneficial for all of the participants in the seminar. So thank you for your Amen. Call today. Dr. Grable, I'm looking at two articles, and it's not in America, but it points to the hysteria that's on a global basis. Police demand power to force entry into homes suspected of lockdown violations. And that is out of the UK. Here's one that says, police enter a home, arrest the entire family after neighbors snitched on them for violating the COVID rules. In my house, this writer says, that's bullying. This is my house. Get out of my house, the lady said as the police officers tried to enter. That was in Scotland. And we're finding that coming very close to that element in America. In fact, New York State has already passed legislation that will make it forced and required to take the vaccine. Thankfully, the state like South Carolina, article here says South Carolina legislators look to ban any mandatory vaccine. It says lawmakers in South Carolina have prefiled a bill proposing to ban mandatory coronavirus vaccination requirements. And so I'm thankful to see that, and I'm prayerful that we will see more of our state leaders, i.e. governors across the states, that will have the, if you please, the insight to see the detrimental effect it'll have on public to make it a mandated thing. I believe we have another caller on the line. Derby, go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Hello, this is Derby. One quick comment. If I want a COVID vaccine, it's free. But if I want any other kind of vaccine or medical treatment, I got to pay for it. When more people die of other diseases and conditions than from COVID, this is baloney.
That's a pretty profound statement, and I agree with you. In fact, I'm looking at an article here, Derby. It says Bill Gates' DTP vaccine killed 10 times more African girls than the disease itself. According to a peer-reviewed study published in a respectful journal by the world's most authoritative vaccine scientist, Bill Gates' DTP vaccine killed 10 times more African girls than the disease itself. The vaccine apparently compromised their immune system. And I believe that's the thing that Dr. Grable will be talking about on Saturday. But Dr. Grable, touch on that for a moment, about the immune system and what a vaccine does to the immune system.
Well, first of all, the COVID vaccine, as Ken Stoller says, is not even a vaccine. It is a medical device. Vaccines, in theory, present a tiny amount of a virus or bacteria to stimulate the immune system to form antibodies against that infection. In this case, what they're doing is they've taken mRNA, which is a piece of genetic material, and they put it inside something called PEG, which, interestingly, upwards of 70% of the population are allergic to. And this is not creating a program in our DNA, it is the program. So this really, in a way, is genetic manipulation, and it's something that has never been done. And What a lot of the public don't realize is that coronavirus vaccine research, animals were killed, maimed, had tremendous side effects. And the feds bypassed animal research with the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines, among others. So they have fast-tracked, they've bypassed key essential experimental processes. So people, in my opinion, that are getting COVID vaccine are being experimented on. And a lot of patients don't realize that the FDA has not approved these vaccines. They are being accepted under emergency use.
Yes.
Not as approved medical treatment. And so this is on the premise that we are experiencing an emergency pandemic, which I would argue we are not. I argue that what we are seeing is a nasty flu bug, period, end of story. And so there's some people argue and say, oh, well, we'll never see it mandated. Well, I'm glad that Governor DeSantis has come out and said he's not going to mandate the vaccine.
Yes.
I think we need to continue to call his office and write him letters to remind him because, you know, politicians are kind of like the wheat, you know, they blow with the wind. So we have to kind of help to keep them strengthened. But, you know, smallpox, which was the prototypical vaccine, it was mandated in the late 1800s that you get the smallpox vaccine. What many don't realize is that smallpox had all but burned out because of sanitation and nutrition. And when they introduced the vaccine, there was a spike in smallpox. Well, you know something? It took, if memory serves me, it took decades. It was about 1920. Before they finally got the mandatory vaccination for smallpox off the books. So if you don't think that this COVID vaccine could become mandatory for our country, I think just look at history.
Yes, absolutely. Dr. Grable, hold on just a minute. I believe we have Garrett on the line. Go ahead with the question or comment, please.
Hey, this is Garrett. I'm one of Dr. Grable's patients. And I'm in and out of a lot of homes with people in the medical community, and I was wondering what was your knowledge, Dr. Grable, about the vaccine possibly causing shedding after receiving the vaccine?
Influenza, you know, when you get a flu shot, you shed flu bugs for days to weeks. In this case, they're giving small pieces of messenger RNA. It's not really the complete virus. So I don't know that it is causing any shedding of the virus, but I do know a couple of things. One, that it appears to take weeks for your immune system to build up immunity. It is designed to strictly reduce the mild symptoms of COVID. They are not even saying that this is going to really help protect you from getting COVID down the road. And you could still get COVID and shed it to others even after having gotten the vaccine. I mean, there's so many, when you look at the data on this, I would encourage your listeners, RFK Jr., which I'm sure most of you have heard or seen, has a wonderful website, childrenshealthdefense.org. And he's done a tremendous job in documenting hundreds and hundreds of articles on not only vaccines in general, but COVID. And you can learn a lot from his website.
Absolutely. So, I highly recommend that. If I can jump in, I'm looking at an article now. It says, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. responds to Bill Gates' statement on mandatory coronavirus vaccine. And he goes on with about five or six massive pages on the subject. He said, the implication is this. When a new vaccine is invented, then mass produced, it will not necessarily be mandatory, but everything else in your life, such as your work, your school, your community, your society, and your involvement therein, will all become privileged granted by the state under the condition that you take the vaccine.
Right.
Right. Right. And, you know, United Airlines right now is beta testing Common Pass, which is that, you know, vaccine pass that you have, I believe, with Singapore and Hong Kong. And you can't get into these countries without having proof that you've had the COVID vaccine.
That's right.
And so I'm hoping the good news that this doesn't become more prominent in our country.
Yes. Garrett, thank you so much for your call, and I'm thankful for your input and your insight on it. And I'm thankful to hear some complimentary things from a patient of Dr. Garrett Grable. Thank you so much for your call. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got about 2 minutes left on the broadcast today. I'm going to remind you again that the seminar that we'll have this Saturday, 9 to 9:30, is coffee and donut time. You can forego that if you feel that your health would not allow it. 9:30 to approximately 12:30, Dr. Grable will be speaking on the subject of COVID-19, the mask mandate, some of the mask mandates, and the vaccination and the efficacies of the mask and the vaccination. Dr. Grable, let me remind our listeners that if they have further questions, they can dial 904-262-7777 if you need instructions, directions to get to the church campus. We're located 1 mile south of I-295 on Old St. Augustine Road, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road. It's 3.5 miles north of I-95. Dr. Grable, I'm delighted that you've taken time out of your schedule today. Once again, if you don't mind, give our listeners a little insight about your practice, where you're located, how they can reach you, and the approach that you take to medicine.
Sure. My practice is called Complementary Care Center, and I'm located at 1504 Roberts Drive behind Beaches Hospital. And I take a functional medicine approach to care so that we try to analyze and find out where your imbalances are and try to help you get those balanced without having to use a lot of chemicals and artificial substances.
Yes. Dr. Grable, thank you so much for joining us today. Ladies and gentlemen, looking forward to seeing you at the seminar this Saturday the 16th, as Dr. Grable speaks to us about our immune system and the healthcare needs that we have, especially facing the virus COVID and the mask mandates and the coming vaccination mandates. Thank you for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as, once again, we face the issues.
Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1/2 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 9:45 p.m., for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.